Good morning. Let's begin our service by singing hymn number 218. O life that maketh all things new, the blooming earth, the thoughts of men, our pilgrim feet, wet with thy dew, in gladness hither turn again. Hymn number 218. The scriptural this morning will be given by Shahidat from Maryland.
From Luke chapter 7. Now, when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. And Jesus went with them, and when he was not now far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, Go, and he goeth, and to the other, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he doeth this. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel.
Let us now have a moment of silent prayer and then follow with the Lord's Prayer and its spiritual interpretation as given in the Christian Science textbook. Our
Father,
which art in heaven.
Our Father, Mother God, all harmonious.
Hallowed be thy name.
Adorable One.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy kingdom is come. Thou art ever present.
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections.
And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
And love is reflected in love.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
And God leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from sin, disease, and death.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
For God is infinite, all power, all life, truth, love, over all and all. Let us now sing hymn number 325. Take up thy cross, thy Savior said, if thou wouldst my disciple be. Thyself deny, the world forsake, and humbly follow after me. Hymn number 325.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent. We begin each Sunday morning here at 10 o'clock with our round table discussion, which is a training session in Christian Science. And we just finished a good one this morning, so if you missed it, you can find it on our website, plainfieldcs.com. Also on Sundays at 11 a.m., we have a Sunday school for children, and the class is conducted via teleconference, so any child anywhere can attend. And if you don't live in the area and you have a child who would like to attend Sunday school, please call us. We'll give you the number, and your child will be most welcome. Every Wednesday evening at 8:15, we have a testimony meeting where you can hear testimonies of healings and lives changed through the study and practice of Christian Science. And for all of our services, we have a nursery for the very young. You can find us not only here in Plainfield, New Jersey. You can find us on our website, plainfieldcs.com. We also have a channel on YouTube. And you can find much of what we do here in this church on SoundCloud, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And you can listen to all of our services either on our website, on YouTube, or from your telephone by a teleconference number that we provide. One of the articles featured on our website is an article entitled, Meet the Claim of Advancing Age. And this is from our book entitled, 500 Watching Points. Also, I want to announce that the concert that was originally scheduled for this Friday, July 21st, is going to be postponed to later this year. So, no concert this Friday. And we will let you know when it is rescheduled. And everyone is welcome here. And that includes all of you who are listening and participating from around the world. We will now have the reading of a testimony from the chapter entitled Fruitage in Science and Health, which attests to the healing power obtained just by studying the Christian Science textbook. And that reading will be given this morning by Amanda from Missouri.
Page 604, Insanity and Epilepsy Healed. While an inmate of the State Asylum for the Insane at Middletown, Connecticut, an epileptic and at times confined to my bed with bilious attacks, pronounced incurable by the doctors, at least six in number, the book, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mrs. Eddy was placed in my hands. After reading a few pages, I became very much impressed with the truth therein stated. And although I was surrounded with opposition, I knew that underneath are the everlasting arms. Since that time, past the middle of the year 1899, I have kept pressing on, until I have been healed by reading Science and Health. At times, I was beset by what seemed unconquerable opposition, until the first week in October 1904, when, upon going to my home in Darien for a visit, I was given my liberty, and I am now earning my living in this city. After having been subject to epileptic attacks since 1892, and at one time pronounced dying by the doctor in charge, I am now well. I have had no fit or symptoms of any since the first week in May, 1904. I trust that this testimony to the healing power of truth, realized by reading Science and Health, for I had no treatment, may reach the eye of some to whom the battle seems long, and inspire them with fresh courage and a realization of the worth of the victory. I am filled with inexpressible gratitude and love to God and to Mrs. Eddy. This is BBC, Stamford, Connecticut.
The lesson sermon for this morning can be found on page 6 of the Independent Christian Science Quarterly. Subject: Life. The golden text is from Matthew. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The responsive reading is from Matthew. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal.
But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal.
For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?
But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Elizabeth from Georgia will read from the Bible.
Proverbs. In the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death. Micah. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. 2 Kings. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was, that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And he said to Gehazi his servant, call this Shunammite. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldst thou be spoken for to the king, or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. Then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead, and laid upon his bed. He went in therefore, and shut the door upon them twain, and prayed unto the Lord. Then he returned, and walked in the house, to and fro, and went up, and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed seven times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite. So he called her. And when she was come in unto him, he said, take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. James. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth, and kneeled down, and prayed, and turning him to the body said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand, and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. James. If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Revelation. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life.
Lil from New Jersey will now read.
I will read correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy. Life is God, and man is the idea of God. Man is not the offspring of flesh, but of spirit, of life, not of matter. Because life is God, life must be eternal, self-existent. Life is the everlasting I am, the being who was and is and shall be, whom nothing can erase. The scientific unity which exists between God and man must be wrought out in life practice, and God's will must be universally done. For this glorious result, Christian Science lights the torch of spiritual understanding. The test of all prayer lies in the answer to these questions. Do we love our neighbor better because of this asking? Do we pursue the old selfishness, satisfied with having prayed for something better, though we give no evidence of the sincerity of our requests, by living consistently with our prayer? If selfishness have given place to kindness, we shall regard our neighbor unselfishly and bless them that curse us. But we shall never meet the great duty simply by asking that it may be done. There is a cross to be taken up before we can enjoy the fruition of our hope and faith. It involves the science of life and recognizes only the divine control of spirit, in which soul is our master, and matter, material sense, and human will have no place. The prayer that reforms the sinner and heals the sick is an absolute faith that all things are possible to God, a spiritual understanding of Him, an unselfed love. What we most need is the prayer of fervent desire for growth in grace, expressed in patience, meekness, love, and good deeds, to keep the commandments of our Master and follow His example is our proper debt to Him and the only worthy evidence of our gratitude for all that He has done. Outward worship is not of itself sufficient to express loyal and heartfelt gratitude, since He has said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." The Apostle James said, "Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." The understanding that life is God, Spirit, lengthens our days by strengthening our trust in the deathless reality of life, its almightiness, and immortality. This faith relies upon an understood principle. This principle makes whole the diseased and brings out the enduring and harmonious phases of things. Life is real, and death is the illusion. Man's privilege at this supreme moment is to prove the words of our Master. "If a man keep my saying, he shall never see death." To divest thought of false trusts and material evidences, in order that the spiritual facts of being may appear, this is the great attainment by means of which we shall sweep away the false and give place to the true. Thus we may establish in truth the temple or body, whose builder and maker is God. We should consecrate existence not to the unknown God whom we ignorantly worship, but to the eternal builder, the everlasting Father, to the life which mortal sense cannot impair nor mortal belief destroy. We must realize the ability of mental might to offset human misconceptions and to replace them with a life which is spiritual, not material. The author has healed hopeless organic disease and raised the dying to life and health through the understanding of God as the only life. It is a sin to believe that aught can overpower omnipotent and eternal life, and this life must be brought to light by the understanding that there is no death, as well as by other graces of spirit. Students of Christian Science, who start with its letter and think to succeed without the Spirit, will either make shipwreck of their faith or be turned sadly awry. They must not only seek, but strive to enter the narrow path of life. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereout. Man walks in the direction toward which he looks, and where his treasure is, there will his heart be also. If our hopes and affections are spiritual, they come from above, not beneath, and they bear, as of old, the fruits of the Spirit. Science reveals the glorious possibilities of immortal man, forever unlimited by the mortal senses. The eternal truth destroys what mortals seem to have learned from error, and man's real existence as a child of God comes to light. Truth demonstrated is eternal life. Mortal man can never rise from the temporal debris of error, belief in sin, sickness, and death, until he learns that God is the only life. The belief that life and sensation are in the body should be overcome by the understanding of what constitutes man as the image of God. Then spirit will have overcome the flesh. We all must learn that life is God. Ask yourself, am I living the life that approaches the supreme good? Am I demonstrating the healing power of truth and love? If so, then the way will grow brighter unto the perfect day. Your fruits will prove what the understanding of God brings to man. Hold perpetually this thought, that it is the spiritual idea, the Holy Ghost and Christ, which enables you to demonstrate with scientific certainty the rule of healing based upon its divine principle love, underlying, overlying, and encompassing all true being.
We will now have a moment of silent prayer for our world. Let's now sing hymn number 83. God made all his creatures free. Life itself is liberty. God ordained no other bands than united hearts and hands. Hymn number 83.
Thank you.
Let's now sing hymn number 59. Fight the good fight with all thy might. Christ is thy strength, and Christ thy right. Lay hold on life, and it shall be thy joy and crown eternally. Thy joy and crown eternally. Hymn number 59.
I will read from the Christian Science textbook, The Scientific Statement of Being, and the correlative passage from 1 John, 3rd chapter. There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Amen.